You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Everybody looks great. Had two packed services before this one. This is the third one, and I love doing this, but I'm glad. So if I'm a little rotted at this service, that's because. First service, there was a t-shirt somebody was wearing I loved, and it said, I hope that Rudolph ate the naughty list. How many hopes that Rudolph ate the naughty list, right? So Santa doesn't know. You know, everybody gets their presents, no coal there. But I know all of you are on the nice list. Amen? Okay. I saw some wives. We're in a series called Why in the World? And the concept is, why in the world would Jesus come to earth? Would God come to earth in the form of man? And we know the correct answer from Sunday school. The correct answer is to die for our sins. But beyond that, what compelled him to live as one of us, as a baby, as a teenager, as an adult? And one of the things that we believe as Christians that's unique to us is the concept of Emmanuel. That was one of his names given to him, that is God with us. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas, that God came to live with us. The writer of John takes in verse 14 of chapter 1 and he encapsulates his whole gospel with this one statement here in this. The Word, talking about Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling or set up his tent among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And this concept that John was trying to get to us in the gospel, that the Father came full of grace and truth, was so radical and so new that it was a radical shift from the culture of that day. All they had ever experienced, all they'd ever been taught, was that God was a God of truth and judgment. Truth and grace, acceptance and love, the God who created us, a Father who desired to have a personal relationship with his creation, was foreign to them. And even though the angels proclaimed it, I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the people today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Just that information, they wouldn't have understood. It wasn't enough. And so we needed an example of what that means for God to live amongst us with grace and truth. And Jesus was an example in his teaching and his death of unconditional love. So one of the reasons Jesus came to earth is so that he could reveal the heart of the Father to us. For many of us today, the words grace and truth don't belong together. Because of the way you're raised, perhaps the job that you're in, maybe there's another authority figure. You think acceptance is based on performance. Your worth is intimately tied to your situation. And today I want to share with you a short story where Jesus revealed the heart of the Father full of truth and grace. And it's found in John chapter 9. We'll start with verse 1. Somebody between the services says, you know, I don't think anybody's preaching from this passage today. That's why we're here at Streams Church, right? John chapter 9, verse 1. As he, talking about Jesus, went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked the question, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And the assumption during this time that if anything bad had happened to you, you were born blind, there was a reason behind it. Somebody sinned. You sinned, or this was a curse passed down from your parents. And I bet you know somebody in your life has a similar question about their life. And maybe you have too. Why did this happen to me? Either I've done something bad and the Father is punishing me, or God doesn't even care at all. Do you ever wonder if suffering is your fault? The assumption often is that if bad things are happening, then I did something wrong or it's my fault. And then what happens is we go on this witch hunt and we start confessing everything in the world, hoping that we can confess the right thing, that God will remove this. In other words, if I can confess and take care of part A, then God will take care of part B and everything will be good again. If I can overcome my sin, then God will heal my situation. That's the assumption they had. Not only they, that's what the disciples thought. Kid's blind. Somebody's at fault. God is punishing whose sin? Everybody knows that, Jesus. Was it him or was it his parents? So Jesus gives the answer in verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that, or in order that, the works of God might be displayed in him. And Jesus said, this isn't anybody's fault. This is not a result of somebody's sin, neither his man or his parents. And then Jesus introduces a huge idea to his followers about God, a huge idea about the Father. He said, this happened so that God could be glorified in their life and in the world. Pain is not a punishment. Pain was an opportunity for the Father to do his work in this man's life in a way that would impact his entire community and bring glory to himself. So listen to what Jesus does. After saying this, he spit on the ground. This is verse 6. Made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, and this is a command, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. And we're not going to read the next 18 verses, but if you read them later on, it's a bit of a comedic routine of religious people and neighbors and friends trying to figure out what happened. So if you will, allow me to retell the story, and I'll fill in all the gaps for this. So the disciples are walking along with Jesus, and all of a sudden they see over here a man who's been blind. And like many of us, at times we've seen somebody in a situation that's bad, and we wonder, what happened? Who messed up? And so secretly, they're having this conversation with Jesus. They said, listen, this man's blind. It had to be him or his parents who sinned. Who was the one? And Jesus said, neither. This is in this situation because this is going to show the glory of God. And, you know, I'm just like, watch. Okay. So then he walks over. And so here's this blind guy that doesn't know what's going on over there, who's just sitting there probably begging. And Jesus walks up and he hears these footsteps coming over. And then he probably hears somebody sort of spit. He's like, what in the world's going on? And all of a sudden on his face, he feels mud. And this guy says, I command you, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he's like, well, I got to wash somewhere because you just put mud on my face. And so he doesn't even have a clue what's going on. So somehow, some way, maybe our friend was there, leads him to the pool of Siloam. He doesn't even know what's going to happen. All he's concerned about is what? Getting the mud off my face. So he goes and he washes. And when the mud comes off, immediately he sees. And he's blown away. So he runs back to his town, his neighborhood where he's at, and he starts telling his neighbors, and he starts telling family and friends. And there's this division of people who believe him, and people say, no way that happened to you. And they're having a conversation. Well, maybe it's not him. Maybe it looks like him. Is he really the guy? And they're going back and forth discussing it. And then so in this, they finally ask him this really stupid question. Where is the man? He says, I don't know. I was blind. He put mud on my face, and I went and washed. I have no idea where he is. I don't even know what happened. I didn't see the man. I was blind, and now I see. And so they take him before the Pharisees. And the reason he had to go to the religious leaders of the day is, if a miracle happened or you became clean from a disease, you had to go to them so they could check off their box that you were worthy or healthy enough to be introduced back into society. So he goes to the Pharisees, and he tells them the story. And they're listening to the story. And the only thing that they can get out of this is, Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. How dare he heal somebody on a day that we're all supposed to rest? No work is supposed to be done on the Sabbath. So they said, he must be a sinner because he healed this man on the Sabbath. And so they begin to criticize Jesus and criticize him. And that's when it gets crazy. And they say, well, what do you think about it? And he's like, I guess he's a prophet. It was a short conversation. I didn't really get to interchange with the guy. He just said, go wash. I went and washed. Now I can see. They still didn't believe him. They sent him away. They bring in the parents and they say, listen, is that your kid? Yeah, that's my kid. Was he born blind? Yeah, he was born blind. Can he see now? Yeah, I can see. What do you think happened? I don't know what happened. You ask him. He's old enough to tell you. And so the parents leave. So they bring him back in. And this time when they bring him back in, they literally say to him, you give glory to God. You give glory to God and tell the truth. And all of us have probably been in that situation with a kid who's like, and then you bring him back in. You give him that one last time. I'm going to give you this last chance to tell the truth. And so they're literally telling him that, tell the truth. And as they're doing it, they're coaching him. He's a sinner. He's a sinner. And they want him to take on their story so they can tell it to other people. This is his response. I love his response. Verse 25, one of my favorite scriptures. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't even know what happened. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. And you can't argue with that. The scripture actually tells us later on, he runs into Jesus and he says, do you believe in me, the Son of God, the Son of Man? And he said, yeah, if you tell me who he is, he said, I am. And he actually comes to faith in Christ at that moment. He said, I don't know what happened, but I know this. In the midst of my pain, Jesus healed my sight. In the midst of my pain, the Father extended his grace. And the religious leaders of the day taught that blindness was a direct result of sin. And so they demanded truth to understand, and what they got was truth full of grace. And up to this time, it was assumed that pain, sickness, divorce, poverty was a punishment bestowed by God Almighty on the sinful. It was so ingrained in the people that even the disciples who'd seen Jesus work and teach thought this man had to have sinned or his parents. When they asked Jesus about it, he said, let me just share with you how the Father sees this situation. He sees this situation as an opportunity to show him and everyone else his glory and his grace. It was a new concept that the Father would care at all, and that the Father would intervene on behalf of an individual so cast aside by society. Like them, many of you today believe that your pain is a result of mistakes in your life, or perhaps your parents. Maybe you think you're cursed, or you were dealt a bad hand in life. Allow me to state what Jesus said another way. When the disciples asked Jesus who sinned, Jesus really replies, it really doesn't matter how he got to this situation. What matters now is this is an opportunity for God to show his love and his grace. It was a radical way of thinking. The Father is not the author of your pain. The Father sees and cares about your pain. The Father wants to heal your pain. And one of the reasons Jesus came to earth is to show how the Father views pain. Isaiah 53 is a wonderful prophecy about Jesus coming to earth. I'm going to read you some portions, verse 3, talking about Jesus. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Sounds just like the blind man. And surely he took up, listen, our pain, and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. And here's a great thing that Jesus came. He understands your pain. Not only understand it, he took it on himself. And there was a point on the cross when our sin and our pain and our guilt and our shame was so much upon him, he felt that God had betrayed him. And he said, God, where are you right now? He understands. When you ask that question, where is God in my pain? He gets it. But listen, he took up our pain. And it says he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Jesus came to this earth because he wanted to take and understand the pain that you go through, and so he could bear it for you. The Father wound runs very deep in people. And many of us, we feel abandoned or forsaken, rejected, insecure. We have resentment or perhaps anger. My own story, many of you know I was abandoned at the age of 2 when my birth father left a note. He was gone that morning on Thanksgiving Day saying you'd be better off without me. Never saw him again until I was 39 years old. My stepfather, who raised me till I was 15, he left, and later he took his own life. And during those times, during those situations, I asked the same question. Was it me, God? Did I do something wrong? Was it him? Was it God? What I've come to know is that the Father understands, cares for, and provides healing for my pain. Because there was a moment I walked down an aisle, and I kneeled and I asked Christ to come into my life, and from that moment I was radically changed with this one understanding, this aha moment, that there was an unconditional love given to me by Father that I've never experienced before in my life. I read a book called The Father Heart of God by Floyd McClung, and all of a sudden the revelation that in my pain, God cared and he provided for me. It wasn't me. There was nothing wrong with me. It was an opportunity for him to heal me. And I know this is a unique Christmas Eve message. No camels, no wise men. We were going to have a couple people dress up as shepherds, and we decided not to do that. But I can't think of a greater Christmas gift to you than the healing of your pain. To understand that the pain you're in is not a punishment for your sin. That the pain is not a curse from the Father. To understand that the Father sees, He cares, and He heals. And the only way that He looks at your pain is in His opportunity to show His glory in your life. Jesus came to this earth and lived so He could experience it and pay for our pain by His death on the cross. That's a great gift. That's one of the reasons He had to come in the flesh. If you'll join me in standing, I'm going to pray for you today. I understand how spiritual, emotional, and even physical pain can be debilitating. And it can really just stop you in your tracks, and you're gaining no momentum. And I just want to pray right now that God would release that and bring healing to your life. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I just pray that the price that was paid on the cross by Jesus Christ for our pain, that You would administer that to hearts right now. And the chains that bind them through this pain would be broken in Jesus' name. You are not cursed. Okay? It's not because of what you've done. The Father is looking right now, and He's looking for that opportunity to bring healing to your pain, to set you free. And so today we receive it. We receive everything, Jesus, that You paid for on the cross. And we thank You that You came to this earth to take care of our pain. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.